Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. An award-winning classical guitarist will be performing at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas, this evening. Ryan Moorhead is the chairman of the Department of Theater and Dance at the college. He says his department and the Convocation and Arts Committee invited Peter Yankovich to perform after being approached by the artist.
And after I read his bio and saw his credentials, and, you know, of course, I know that a number of people in the campus community and in the city of Atchison are actually very fond of good classical music and a lot of the things that we're doing up here at the college, I thought having Peter here would be a very beneficial thing for both our students, our campus community, and for the town as well.
Now, you mentioned that when you read about him, you were impressed with it and wanted to invite him then. What was it that you saw that made you want to invite him?
He's won a number of awards at a couple of different international and national performing arts festivals and competitions. Again, anywhere from Bloomington, Indiana, all the way to Madrid, Spain, Mexico City, and places all over the world. He's very accomplished, and I've heard some of his music on some of the CDs, which will actually be for sale up here at the Maybe Theater before and after the concert, and it was just fantastic music. I mean, it was just beautiful, and I thought having Peter here would be a very, very, very good thing.
That was the chairman of the Theater and Dance Department at Benedictine College, Ryan Moorhead. He says Yankovich will be performing this evening at 6 o'clock at Maybe Theater on the Benedictine campus. The concert is open to the public. A Kansas City area jazz pianist and a jazz vocalist will be the next performers at the Brownville Concert Series in Brownville, Nebraska. Michael Pagan will be joined by vocalist Millie Edwards at the Brownville Concert Hall tomorrow through Sunday. I spoke with Pagan while he was on the road about the upcoming concerts. He says he and Millie Edwards have been performing together for about 3 years.
And Millie is a singer who has a very wide range of styles, and she's basically coming from a jazz and blues and gospel background. She's sung top 40, she's sung R&B, she's gone on the road, she's studied classical music as a younger musician, she played the viola and the piano as a child and went into music when she was a student at Ottawa University, and she ended up with a degree in elementary education, but still continued very strongly in music, especially in singing. In fact, I think it was an encounter with the late Aaron Copland, a great American composer who was visiting at Ottawa, and actually she had a little chat with him, and he told her she ought to be singing, and that was a huge inspiration to her. So she's just a powerhouse of a singer, and she and I started working together. And one thing led to another, and it just really clicked, the piano and voice duo.
Now, you told us a little bit of background on Millie. What about your background? How did you get involved in jazz and piano playing?
For me, it started as a child. My parents were both keyboard musicians in Northeast Ohio. My dad played jazz piano gigs around Cleveland and Akron, Ohio, when I was growing up. And my mother was also a keyboard musician and played church organ. So we had music all around the house. And then I went into music at Kent State University and wound up with a master's degree in composition from there. And then I went to Northwestern University for my doctorate in composition. So I'm a musician by trade and a professor. And currently I teach jazz piano at Ottawa University, and I'm also artist in residence at Missouri Valley College in Marshall, Missouri.
How did you and Millie meet?
Great question. Millie was putting together a fundraiser in Kansas City and was looking for musicians, and she called me at the university where I was teaching, looking for students. So she was actually doing some work that way, and I supplied some students for an event. And then she found out that I was a pianist, and then I found out that she was a singer, and she called me for a job, and it went really well. And that was, I think, in 2008, and the rest is just history.
Well, this weekend you'll be performing both in concert and in cabaret. Is there one that you prefer over the other?
Well, not really. I enjoy both. I think that it's not a question of one that I prefer, but it's just a question of how we deliver as performers. Because in the concert setting, you have folks in their seats, and you really want to keep them engaged with a performance. Whereas in the cabaret setting, where the people are sitting in round tables, the rapport might be a little bit more informal, and there might even be a little bit of exchange with the audience and a little more interactive kind of rapport. So I like them both. I'm very comfortable getting up on a stage and doing my thing, and I know Millie is too, and taking our bows. But the cabaret is maybe a little more intimate, a little more interactive.
Is there anything particularly about this program that you really like?
The thing that I think people will come away with is our performances are pretty spontaneous. We really trust each other as improvisers and as musicians who perform in the moment and think on our feet. We've both been at this for over 30 years, so we're both pretty seasoned, but we're also both pretty youthful. So there's a lot of interplay, a lot of spontaneity, a lot of improv, a lot of stuff that happens on the fly. Even some of the songs we choose, we usually literally don't know what we're going to do until we get out there and decide. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun for the audience to see the spontaneity and see how the sparks fly once we get going.
That was jazz pianist Michael Pagan. He and Millie Edwards will be performing at the Brownville Concert Hall in Cabaret tomorrow night and Saturday night at 7:30. They'll be in concert Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Ticket information is available at the Brownville Concert Series website at brownvilleconcertseries.com. The Northwest Missouri State University Tower Choir will be giving area residents a sneak preview of what the choir will be performing at a national convention. The Tower Choir was invited to perform at the National Conference of the National Collegiate Choral Organization November 3rd through the 5th. The choir will perform a preview concert at Conception Abbey this Sunday. KXCV KRNW reporter Logan Compton spoke with Tower Choir Director Dr. Stephen Town earlier this week. Town says the invitation to perform at the National Convention is a rare honor.
Well, the Tower Choir and no other ensemble in our department, whether it's a choir or band, has ever been invited to perform at a national convention through a blind review process. So it's a very big event for the university.
What can people expect by going to the preview that you're having?
Well, the preview that we're having at the Abbey will include the music for two of our concerts. We were invited to sing at the National Conference of the National Collegiate Choral Organization in Colorado, and then 2 weeks later we were invited to sing at the State Conference of the Nebraska Music Educators Association. So we're singing all of our music at the Abbey, and we're singing in that lovely structure. It's a wonderful place to sing. So people will be able to hear the massive organ over there with the wonderful Tower Choir singers, and a nice mix of music that we're doing.
Do you think the choir being able to perform at this level, do you think that could be the start of something bigger, maybe, for the choir?
Well, I should like to think so, but I have to say that my colleagues and I and the students have been doing wonderful work for a number of years. These kind of events, if you think about how much it takes to get for our football team to make it to the national championship game, And then, you know, the teams are playing their hearts out to get there. And there's some element of luck that's involved in that and actually winning that championship. So over the years, we've been, the last several years, we've been submitting our materials, and we knew that at some point one of our ensembles would be chosen to do this. We won't be the last one. I know that our other ensembles will be chosen in the near future because everybody's doing good work here.
That was the director of the Northwest Tower Choir, Dr. Stephen Towne, speaking with KXCV KRNW News reporter Logan Compton. The Tower Choir will perform the preview concert Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Conception Abbey. The concert is open to the public. The Rubidoux Resident Theater has received a grant that will help them fulfill their mission. Executive Director of RRT, Jeff Haney, says the American Dream Grant should help Rubidoux Resident Theater and downtown St. Joseph.
In order to receive the Dream Grant, a city has to be at one of the Dream Cities that were chosen by the legislature a number of years ago. And these are smaller communities like St. Joseph that have a vibrant, or had at one time a vibrant downtown. And the Dream initiatives are to try to get the cities in a place where the downtown is back to where it was or is reinvented. And so what we have here from the Missouri Arts Council is the Dream Grant that is to bring in new art into a downtown area. And so we're going to use that money to do more innovative shows that may be for a smaller audience because of the interest level of the show, but we're hopefully going to get the 20s and 30-something-year-olds back into our downtown with theater that is geared more toward their interest and lifestyles. And so we're going to do that in the new rehearsal space that is being renovated after this fire that we had in February.
Can you tell me how big is the grant?
It's a $5,000 grant that's being matched by $10,000 here locally. And so overall, it's a $15,000 beginning, you know, to help us kick off that particular series that will then be supported by local sponsorships and, of course, the tickets and all the things that come involved when you produce art. But so that's basically it. MAC is giving us a $5,000 toward that particular goal.
Now, do you see this as a series that will continue, or since it's only funded for the $5,000, mm-hmm. is it something that we'll just have this year?
Sure. We certainly hope that it will prove to be something of interest and something that can financially sustain itself. That certainly is our goal, and over the last 5 years, we've added a dinner theater, we've added educational outreach, and we've added a professional series, and we found that those are able to sustain themselves. So I would, you know, if history proves itself, it should be able to sustain itself by the interest of the community.
Do you have in mind any productions that you'll be bringing as a result of this?
We do, but we're not talking about those
okay.
yet.
All right. So that'll be a surprise for us.
It will be a surprise. It will be fun new shows, you know, that will be geared toward either social issues, or just shows that maybe have a an adult subject matter that would be more appealing to a smaller group of people, but still we want them to have, you know, their performing arts represented in the downtown.
When will we see some of these shows?
We are hoping to look at that in February and March of 2012 to begin that process.
How does this really help revitalize the downtown area?
Well, if you really look at St. Joseph's downtown, any night that there is an activity at the Missouri Theater, you're adding 1,000 people into a downtown that at nighttime really doesn't have much going on other than, you know, we have a few great restaurants and we have some bars. But as far as entertainment, it's going to be the only entertainment in the downtown. And so we find that if we can get more people in to see the art, what they do, they support the restaurants that are downtown. They may have a drink before or after the show. And so it just begins to snowball on itself in an economic impact. And so we know we have to have consumers at night in the downtown that come here as a destination. And so the arts right now are proving to be one of the, if not the main, interest of, you know, for to make a trip into our downtown after business hours. And so we're really convinced that that is going to not only enhance the arts, but it's going to enhance the businesses like the restaurants and the bars that depend upon the patrons at the theater.
It sounds like you're excited about this opportunity.
We're thrilled with it. We're absolutely thrilled with it. And we still believe, even with the growth that we've had, that there's still some niches out there of audiences and actors and performers that really want still another type of performing arts to fulfill their needs and their interest.
That was the executive director of Rubidoux Resident Theater, Jeff Haney.
My mother taught me that if I couldn't say something nice, I shouldn't say anything at all. Anyone who listens to my reviews knows that I haven't done a very good job of following her advice, but I try. So, since there are only new releases of movies in the theaters that I would have to heap scorn upon, we'll talk about a DVD that's just become available with the unpromising title Bad Teacher. I didn't see Bad Teacher when it came out because the previews certainly didn't make the film seem very appealing. I really don't care for movies with a hero who's not only a rebel without a cause, but one without a brain. That looked like the case for Cameron Diaz in this film. But I checked out the DVD and discovered that I was about half right in my initial impression. I suppose it's damning with faint praise, but I liked Bad Teacher better than I thought I would. So I can say a little something nice. At the start, Elizabeth Halsey, Diaz's character, is having a really bad day. She's a middle school teacher, and after the last day of school, she's going to meet her wealthy fiancé. But his mother is present, and he unceremoniously dumps her, with Mom leading the way. Why? Well, for one thing, in 1 month, she put $16,000 in charges on the credit card he'd given her. Mom decides she's a spendthrift. Big insight. Then there are a few other flaws, like a foul mouth and a drug and alcohol problem, to name a couple. Also, she's morally challenged and ethically impaired and, well, bad. So what's the problem, Elizabeth thinks. So there she is, bereft of her imagined future of outrageous consumerism. What to do? Necessity demands employment, so it's back to school in the fall. Alas, Elizabeth isn't really interested in teaching, so she shows movies in class every day and ignores her students. Why did she fail with her fiancé, she wonders. Couldn't have been her conduct. Must have been because she doesn't have large breasts, so she dreams of getting an enhancement. Then she might be able to land wealthy fellow teacher Scott Delacorte, who seems to be teaching as a hobby. But where will she get the $10,000 for the procedure? Her nefarious attempts to round up that much money is one part of the plot. The other is the battle between her and fellow teacher Amy Squirrel, played by Lucy Punch, for the affection of Delacorte. But he seems to like Amy. So the movie becomes a game of gradually increasing gotchas between the two scheming females. Bad Teacher tries to walk the line between making Diaz's character totally repugnant because of her really nasty behavior and sort of amusing. For one thing, she and Russell, the gym teacher, and maybe Amy, her adversary, are the only characters in the film who seem to have a brain. Delacorte, the object of Elizabeth and Amy's desire, never heard a cliché they didn't like. Delacorte because he's a dork, and Amy because she knows how to use them. Amy appeals to him because she can spout clichés right along with him. Russell, the poor but ardent gym teacher, has warm feelings for Elizabeth, but he has no money, so he's out. So will love bloom anyway? Diaz's character gives bad teachers a bad name. But the film works toward a little redemption for Elizabeth toward the end. She's been totally indifferent to her students, but becomes a little more sensitive to them. One of the boys from her middle school class, an outsider, is crushed when his class cutie humiliates him at a school outing when he publicly declares his love. Elizabeth takes him aside and gives him her lacy black bra so he can brag to the other boys that he got from a high school girl in the bushes, raising him from dweeb to hero. Obviously, her changes seem lacked on. But Diaz makes Elizabeth so unrepentantly self-centered, manipulative, scheming, and dishonest, it's sort of fun to watch her antics. So I'll give Bad Teacher 2.5 stars out of 5.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.